get you fine. So the best I can help you with, if you'll find Matthew, the New Testament, and then go backwards, you'll run into old Jonah. And if you have to, you can always, or welcome to flip to the front of your Bible, to that table of contents. Look towards the bottom of the Old Testament, and it'll tell you Jonah and what page number he's on. Okay. Now, because some of these prophets, because their books are so skinny, are hard to find sometimes, flipping through your Bible. All right. So again, it's going to be from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1. A reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now these words. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amiad, saying, Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah was set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare, went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. Such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it and load. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down to the hold of the ship, and laid down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, What are you doing, sound asleep? Get up, call your God. Perhaps a God will spare us a thought so we do not perish. The sailors said to one another, Come, let us cast lots, so we may know on whose account this calamity has fallen upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They said to him, Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you? I am a Hebrew, he replied. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, What is it that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them so. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of this innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as you please. So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. All right. A few weeks ago at Central, I was kind of thinking about what I'm going to do this summer now that we have gone through our journey from Bethlehem to the cross, to the empty tomb, to Jesus ascending to heaven and the Holy Spirit coming down. And I was impressed to do a sermon series on the prophets, because I feel like we mention the prophets quite a bit, but we often don't read from the prophets. And I know there are some folks in the Christian family who will say, oh, that's Old Testament stuff, don't know about us. But I'm a little old-fashioned and believe what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, that all Scripture is God-inspired, and goes on to talk about how it's given to us for a reason. And so when I was sitting down, figuring out, okay, well, who is my earliest prophet? It was a toss-up. The source I was reading between Jonah and Joel. And I thought, well, since we got you Sunday, we're going with Jonah. Because, you know, when you're a kid, there are certain stories you like better than others. And Jonah is always a favorite. Now, a lot of people don't take Jonah seriously because they'll say it's a fish tale. And I get that. But I want you to notice as we go through here, there's some very serious themes that apply to us today. Now, it starts off saying there's Jonah, and Jonah's actually mentioned in the book of 2 Kings. And the Lord tells Jonah, Jonah, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come upon before me. Now, if you're not up on your biblical history, Nineveh is part of a nation called Assyria. Now, even today, we got a country called Syria, just north of Israel. These were the enemies of the nations of Israel and Judah. And Nineveh had a reputation for being a very cruel, violent city. So not only are these enemies of God's people, but it also is a dangerous place to be at. Now, before we judge Jonah and how he behaved, let's be honest with ourselves. What if you thought the Lord was telling you, I want you to go down to Afghanistan and talk to the Taliban and tell them they got 40 days to repent? Or I want you to go down to Iran and talk to their leaders and tell them they got 40 days to repent? Or go down to Syria and Lebanon and talk to Hezbollah and tell them they got 4 days and repent? Or tell them go down to Palestine, the West Bank, and tell Hamas leaders they got 4 days to repent? How many of you be eager to go? None of us. We first say, oh, that wasn't the Lord, that was my imagination. I need to go take a Tylenol, go back to bed. Ain't no way the Lord going to tell me to go see enemies of our country and folks who are violent and doing all this craziness. Mm-mm. And so Jonah decides he go down to the boat dock, buy him a little ticket, go in the opposite direction. What could go wrong? But then verse 4 said that the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. Now, the sailors were experienced, I'm sure, so it wasn't just any regular storm. They realized there was something crazy going on this. And they got afraid. Each one cried out to his God, little case G. They threw the cargo over the boat. They were scared. Meanwhile, the captain goes downstairs. Boy, what are you doing down here taking a nap? I said, we're about to drown. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe if you pray to your God, we won't perish. Well, the storm continues. The sailors say, let's draw a lot. That's kind of like in our culture, drawing names out of the hat, you know, or drawing straws. Somebody on this ship got somebody mad, you know. And they draw lots, and the winner is Jonah. And they said, Jonah, who are you? And what's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What's your people? Who are you? And listen to this. Jonah didn't tell him his name. He says, I'm a Hebrew. But more importantly, he says, I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. It reminds me how when Paul was at Mars Hill, not this one, but the one in Athens, talking to those pagan Greeks, and said, I saw all your statues to the gods and goddesses, but I noticed that you had one that said to the unknown God, this is the God I have come to proclaim to you. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And so Jonah had a great moment there testifying to these pagans about the one God, the true God, the God of Israel. And then they say, well, what have you done to him, you know? And then they say, well, what should we do? And so Jonah says, and I don't know, he said this gradually with a sigh, and says, well, boys, just throw me over to the ship. That'll be good enough. And they say, well, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. And so they try to row back to land. But the harder they rowed, the worse storm got. So finally they had a little prayer meeting and said, "Lord of the Israelites, do not hold this man's blood against us. We're not doing this on purpose, but it's not just what you want." And with that, the sailors threw old Jonah overboard. And splash. As soon as they did it, the sea ceased from raging. And it says, "And these men feared the Lord even more, and offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." It reminds me when Paul was on that ship going to Rome, got the storm, and he gathered all the men together and said, "The Lord has revealed to me that not one soul should be lost, but all of you need to eat bread and be strong, for this ship will certainly go down." And he broke the bread and blessed God, and what a witness was to all those pagans on that ship. And then meanwhile, Jonah's out in the water, and Jaw shows up and swallows up Jonah. He's in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And I remember when I was younger, they used to get into arguments about whether it was a fish or a whale. Okay. Does anybody know why there was an argument about whether it was a fish or a whale? Okay. What do you think, Herb?
Because it never said, all it says is a big fish. It never says what it was.
Okay. So this comes down to our translations. If you're reading the Gospels, there's a section where Jesus refers to this story. And in the King James Version that we used back in my Baptist days, it was translated as the word whale, okay? All right. Whereas if you read in the book of Jonah, it said fish, okay? So here's the story behind that is, you got to remember that the Gospels are translated from Greek. And so when the folks in the New Testament were reading their Gospels or their Old Testament in the Greek, the translators used a certain word for the fish. But as time has gone by, our scientific community have used that word specifically for whales. So that's why in the New Testament, in the King James Version, it will say a whale, whereas back over in Jonah, it says a fish. Okay. Now, it was interesting, I think it was a few years ago, they made headlines about a poor diver was out diving, and he got swallowed by a whale for a few moments and got spit back out. Okay. So, yes, a whale can swallow you. I personally suspect it was more of a big fish. And you think about how much cleaner that water was back then, less pollution, you didn't have all this industrial fishing. It'd be very easy for a fish to go very large and swallow somebody and keep them for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, if you're inside the belly of Jaws, what are you going to do for 3 days and 3 nights? You can't swim. You'd be praying. Now listen to this prayer that Jonah prayed. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again from your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. The weeds, the seaweed, were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountain. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon forever. And yet you brought my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord.'" So in other words, old Jonah got repenting inside the belly of that fish. And it talks about, "I went down to the city," it says, "that her doors were closed, and I remember one time I was watching the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth, and there was a scene they put in where Joseph, the husband of Mary, is dying, and the rabbi says, I went down to the city of the dead, to the people of the pass. I cried to the Lord, and he heard my prayer. And I thought, well, that's a beautiful prayer. And then I tried to figure out where that source came from, and found out it came from the book of Jonah. That's a different translation of it. You know, it was a very touching scene. And so here's Jonah talking about, I thought I was dead and gone. I would never see God's temple again. And yet, you, Lord, had delivered me. And so after 3 days, the Lord kind of pets Jaws on the head and says, good boy. And old Jaws spits out Jonah. And then chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim the message I told you to tell. All right. And so Jonah gets up and goes to Nineveh and says Nineveh is a great city, 3 days walk across. And Jonah began to cry out of the city, going a day's walk, and cry out saying, 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown. So here is this Hebrew guy in the capital of his enemies saying, 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But listen to this. And the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king of his nobles, no human being or animals, nor herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mighty to God. All shall turn from their wicked ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so we do not perish. Jonah led a great revival in Nineveh because as he preached, the people began to turn their hearts to God away from these sinful, violent behaviors. And the word got to the palace. O king, great one, there is a prophet of God proclaiming a day of judgment coming in 40 days upon Nineveh. The people are outside repenting. And the king took off his royal robe, built on sackcloth and ashes, and declared a national emergency, a national time of repentance. And he said, who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so we do not perish. And then verse 10 says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind by the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't it interesting how in the New Testament we have that verse about saying, if anyone sins and we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us. And here you have an entire city, a large city. Everybody was repenting of their sins. And God forgave that city of their sins. And the penalty of judgment was removed from them. Now, it should be, at this point, I say amen in the story. And it should be that Jonah would go home as a national hero. Jonah, you led a great revival. Praise the Lord. But listen to verse. Chapter 4, verse 1. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew you are a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Oh, that's strange. I thought, I heard on Facebook that the God of the Old Testament was a mean God, always trying to get people. But Jonah here says, I knew you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And Jonah is so irritated, he said, I'll just be better off dead. And the Lord said to him, is it right for you to be angry? And then Jonah went out to the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat down under the shade, waiting to see what become of the city. So Jonah gets mad. He stomps off, goes east of the city, and sits on the hill. I'm going to sit right here and see what's happening. And in verse 6, and the Lord God appointed a bush, and there's different ideas what kind of plant this was, and made it come over Jonah to give him shade over his head to save him his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind and sun to beat down the head of Jonah so that he was faint, that he might die. So in other words, Jonah's out here on the side of the hill, and God allows this fast-growing plant to give him some shade, and Jonah's like, oh man, I got made in the shade. But then that night, a worm kills that plant. And then Jonah's out there, he's getting beat by the sun, the wind's blowing on him, he doesn't have any sunscreen or sunglasses, and he's angry. So Jonah says, it's better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And Jonah replied, yes, angry enough to die. Okay, now say, God's asking some questions. Jonah, do you really got any business being angry about that bush dying? And he goes, yes, I'm angry enough to die, you know. Listen to what the Lord says in the last few verses of Jonah. Jonah, you are concerned about this bush, for which you did not labor, and for which you did not grow. It came to being in the night and perished in the night. Okay? So Jonah, you're getting all riled up about a bush. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't fertilize it. You didn't do anything. It was there one day and gone the next. And yet, you're upset about it being gone. Now, listen to this. Verse 11. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from the left, and also many animals? Jonah, you're upset about bush. It wasn't even your bush. If you can get that upset about a bush, shouldn't I be concerned about a city of 20,000 people who are in spiritual darkness, and not to mention all the livestock and critters that live there as well? And that's how the story ends. Now, what can we take from this? Well, one, I think we ought to learn is when God tells you to do something, you better do it. Disobedience is disobedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. When God tells you to go say this or do this to someone, you go do it. Don't drag your feet. Number two is God is forgiving. Look how he forgave Jonah for his misbehaving. And then look how he forgave the city of Nineveh. No. Because we see that the Lord, while he was angry at the actions of Nineveh, he still loved the people of Nineveh. Right? It's not for God so hated the world, it's for so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No, it's not that God demonstrated his hate, but God demonstrated his love for us in this. What? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is on a rescue mission to rescue as many people as possible from the clutches of sin and evil. And Jonah was part of his plan to be part of that rescue mission. And then finally, notice how the Lord comes down and meets with old Jonah. And Jonah's very open, very honest to the Lord. I'm very angry with you. I'm upset. I could die. And the Lord just has a chit-chat with him to get him calmed down. And then finally, I would say, this story actually points to the coming of Jesus, both to the first coming and second coming. It points to his first coming because Jesus said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man must be buried in the earth 3 days, 3 nights, symbolically speaking, and on the third day rise again. You know, let's say that story of Jonah being the fish was symbolic of Jesus being buried in the tomb on Friday and rising again on the third day, Sunday morning. But it also has implications for his second coming. Jesus told the people of his time, on the day of judgment, the people of Nineveh will rise up and condemn you, for they repented when they heard the words of Jonah. But one who is greater than Jonah is before you now. You see, as Christians, we have greater responsibility because we have more knowledge of the truth. And so on the day of judgment, the people of Nineveh will rise up and look at our generation and say, you all should have known better. You had the full revelation of truth. All we had was one crazy guy with seaweed around his head preaching the truth. But that was enough thus to repent of our sins. And so the Titus in VBS is so important to all of us that we go out to all the world, the folks we meet, and tell them about God's justice and his love, that God wants everybody to repent their sins, turn to him, and find forgiveness, and find a restoration between human beings and God. God came to this world as a rescue mission. Now let's not be like Jonah and go the opposite direction. Let's go eagerly to share the word of God with our enemies and our loved ones. Thanks be to God. Amen.